I want you to look again. And I want you to notice, obviously, a familiar statement in a very familiar verse in the even more familiar Sermon on the Mount. Verse 34 says this, "Take therefore," Jesus said, "no thought for the morrow." Tomorrow. "For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The statement that I want us to consider this morning is what Jesus says here at the end of this verse. "Sufficient," he said, "unto the day is the evil thereof." Don't worry about the evil tomorrow. You have plenty of evil for this day. This was our Lord's last comment in a long section that concerns anxiety and worry in a believer's life. In fact, I want you to notice how often the subject of fretting, the subject of overthinking, comes in this narrative. We begin at verse 25. Look at it, would you? Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought," thinking, overthinking. Verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment," meaning clothes. Look at verse 31. "Therefore take no thought," saying, verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." Now, folks, look, I cannot emphasize enough how unusual it is that our Lord repeats this singular thought like this and does so no less than five times in just 10 verses. It's remarkable. It is remarkable when you consider all of the sermons, all of the narratives and parables and commands of Christ in the Bible to note how rarely the Lord Jesus does or employs this kind of repetition, and especially to open and to close with the very same thought. You see, this discussion begins in verse 25 with the words, look at it, "take no thought." It closes in verse 34 with the same words, "take no thought." These old English words come from the Greek word merimnao, which literally means, quote, "to be anxious." In fact, Paul uses that exact same word in Philippians 4:6. When he says, "be careful for nothing." Don't overthink things. Be anxious for nothing. And of course, the fact that Jesus repeats this command over and again is a reminder that this idea, this anxiousness, this worry, it's not just the burdens of a few people who are labeled worry warts. Jesus isn't speaking to a support group of a bunch of neurotics. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And according to chapter 5 and verse 1, his audience includes specifically his disciples, some very successful business owners, sons of Zebedee, devout believers, risk takers, committed men and committed women. These are his potential worriers in the days ahead. And you know, that's why I'm not here this morning, to make anybody here feel guilty as if you're uniquely weak in your faith. This is not a text for a specific subset of God's people who are always anxious. This text is for all of God's people. And it is Christ's powerful and perfect wisdom to those that he loves and leads in this world that is filled with fret. The question is this: what does he mean? What did he mean exactly when he closes this entire discussion with these intriguing words, "sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof"? That's what I want to consider this morning. I want to speak on the subject. Put the problem down. Put the problem down. Please listen, would you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. We recognize, Father, that this is one of the singular subjects in the New Testament concerning your people, that the Psalms themselves cover in great detail the difference between faith, between trust and worry and fretting. Please speak to our hearts today through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we look again at our text this morning, I want to ask you a question with reference to a visual. And the question is, how much do you suppose that this iPhone weighs? Now, anybody in here know exactly how much it weighs? You want to raise your hand? Anybody know? Okay, don't look it up. Don't look it up with your iPhone. Because I already have. It weighs 194 grams, or in other words, 6.84 ounces, which is almost exactly the same weight as a small paper cup of coffee, interestingly. And obviously what that means is it's not that heavy. And yes, if you have a smartphone, its absolute weight might vary a little bit. Google Pixel is 7.3 ounces, Samsung Galaxy is 6.08 ounces, and so on. In other words, it's just really insignificant. And especially compared to those bricks that people carried around in the 1990s, you know, those giant Motorola Dynatac things. Whatever the weight of this iPhone is, or any smartphone today, it really doesn't matter in light of what our Lord teaches in this text. What matters in light of what our Lord teaches in this text is not how much it weighs. What matters is how long you hold it. You see, if I hold it here for a minute or 3 minutes, it's no big deal. If I hold it up here for an hour, my hand and my arm are going to start feeling that. If I hold on to it all day long, my muscles will start to contract and feel numb and a little paralyzed. If I hold on to it all through the day and then into tomorrow, the pain will become eventually excruciating. Now understand, the weight hasn't changed. The phone still only weighs 6.8 ounces, but the longer that I hold on to it, the heavier it begins to feel and the more dangerous it becomes. And so it is with the problems and the stresses of everyday life. If you think about it, these problems, these stresses, whatever it is that's come into your life, if you think about them in your mind, giving it thought, using the Bible terminology here, for a few minutes, that's no big deal. If you overthink with some care of this world for an hour, then it starts to ache a little bit. And if you think and you think and you think and you overthink about it all day long and then even into the next day, as we'll see in a few moments, then a regular light care of just a few ounces will paralyze you into being unproductive and weak, and losing your testimony. So, what's the answer? What is the biblical answer? Well, you put the phone down. You put the problem down. And as much as this represents the cares and the problems of life, the counsel of our Lord, who truly knows the mind of man, is very simple and straightforward. You put it down. Understand that the words "take no thought" doesn't mean you never ever think about something. But it says, Pastor, it says take no thought. No, that's not absolute, and I can prove it to you in one moment. You see verse 11 of our text where Jesus teaches the disciples to pray? You notice he says to pray these words, "Give us this day our daily bread." So guess what? You're putting some thought. You're praying about it. You're putting some thought into that daily sustenance, that daily bread. But then in the exact same sermon, just a few minutes later, in almost the very same breath, the same Lord Jesus says these words in verse 25. Look at that. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat." Now wait a minute, no thought? Never think about what you're going to eat? He just said, when you pray, ask God for your daily bread. You see, folks, the issue our Lord addresses here repeatedly over and again is overthinking. In psychology, it's called ruminating. Ruminating is a pejorative. It's actually a psychosis. It's thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And in the context of our spiritual life, it is constantly thinking about things that God says you put down. You're not to think about. It is taking a light and insignificant burden and never putting it away. And this, beloved, explains perfectly what Jesus meant. when he says, sufficient unto the day, this day is the evil thereof. Can I remind you that it's the very same Lord Jesus Christ who also said, my grace is sufficient. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. My grace is sufficient for whatever burdens that day comes into your life. But what if? What if you hold on to that trouble and that evil and that trial and that problem for too long? What if you hold on to tomorrow's troubles and they're not even here today? What if you stack on that yesterday's past water under the bridge issues and problems? Every day has sufficient enough burdens. And God's grace is sufficient to meet every one of them unless you choose to never put it down. Put what down, Pastor? What cares, what thoughts, what daily issues is Jesus talking about? There's four things in this text. The first one we've already noted is food. The second one you'll see is finances, which is almost the same as food. The third one is fabric, and the fourth one is the future. I gave you the whole outline. Let's pray and go home. Amen. I'm just kidding. What is it that causes people to worry? Us. Look at chapter 6 again. I want you to notice this is Jesus' remarkable answer to this. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I think that's pretty clear, right? Just crystal clear, but just in case we missed it, and just in case the disciples miss it, he's going to repeat it again. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Clothing. Look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Again, crystal clear. But just in case they still missed it, he repeats it all again in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? What are the people that worry about? They worry about food. They worry about finances. They worry about fabric. And the third thing is our text in verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Tomorrow. In other words, again, look. It is food. It's finances. It's fabric. And it's the future. These are among the things that our Lord, that the God of the universe, the one who knows the mind of man, these are the things that Jesus says give rise to overthinking, therefore anxiety and worry in people's hearts. Not because these things are heavy, because they're really not, but rather because you don't put them down. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you say, now, wait a minute, Pastor, I don't know about this. I don't worry. Maybe I worry a little bit about the future, but I don't really worry about clothes, fabric. Well, let's look at it again, and maybe you do in the context of what Jesus is talking about. Look at verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, if you think and think and think and think about how tall or short you are, how much thinking can change it? None. Trust me, I've tried. Verse 28. And why take ye a thought for raiment? You see how he's connecting these? You can't change how tall you are by stressing over it, so don't worry about it. Height and clothing, both of these go to somebody's appearance. How do I look in this? How can I look better than this? How can I look taller or thinner or younger or chicer or prettier or handsomer or whatever? Christians do worry about clothing in the context of appearance. There's not a teenager in America who is not told that they should have anxiety and they should be worried about what they wear and labels. All kinds of people are told that they should worry over how they appear to other people, but they are not told that by God. In fact, you'll notice how Jesus uses an illustration to drive home this point. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. There's no spinning wheel that they have to make clothes. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the fire. In other words, look, Solomon had beautiful clothing. Solomon had the finest fabric on earth. You know, that MyPillow guy, the world's best cotton called Giza, whatever, I don't know. He got it from somewhere. Solomon wasn't just a king, you understand. He was a king with money and style. Jesus said the lilies of the field who don't think, who don't worry about their attire, he said their glory is greater than all of Solomon's glory. In all of Solomon's expensive robes. Is that true, Pastor? I can look at lilies. Yeah, you think about it for a moment. Do you know that no matter how expensive the fabric or some clothing item with a designer label, do you know that they all look the same under a microscope? And specifically, it all looks like sackcloth. I don't care what piece of clothing you put under a microscope, you get down there, they all look the same, they all look like sackcloth. However, you take God's creation, a flower, put that under a microscope, and you'll find not less glory, but even more glory. More beauty, more design, more elegance. So here's what Jesus is saying. What the lilies do that I have designed for them to wear, they don't worry about that. And yet every fall, they gather these things up in Israel and these flowers, and they cast them in the fire to warm people's hands. Why are you worried about clothes when the Creator cares more for you than He did for those lilies and does? Okay, Pastor, maybe I do think too much about appearance. But in America, I really don't think or get anxious or overthink about food. What I think about is my kids going to college. Really? Can I ask you a question? Why do you overthink about your kids going to college? Why is that a concern? Well, it's because my kids, I want them to get an education and a college degree. Why? So they can have a career, Pastor, and make money and afford clothes and food. Exactly. Overthinking about food and raiment. When what we are told to do, when what we're commanded to do by our own Lord is pray for today's bread. And you know what Jesus is saying? If you've got enough bread for today, you're good. Put the problem down. Stop overthinking and worrying about it. Put it down. One less thing to fret about. The second thing that Jesus addresses, as we noted, is finances, and they do go together with the food. Everybody at some time thinks about finances. You have to. Jesus isn't saying take no thought, for instance, for tomorrow. Everybody plans for the day. You have a budget, but that's not what he's saying. Overthinking. You know, finances is a light thing in God's economy. I've often said, and you've heard me say, that the cheapest gift that God can give you is money. We think it's the ultimate. The cheapest gift that God can give you is money. It really is a light thing, and you're going to think about it. You're going to think about money. The question is, do you ever put it down? You know, it is no surprise to me that the introduction to this text, the very introduction, concerns the subject of money. You see the word therefore in verse 25? The word therefore, that's the first part of this whole text, is because of the verse before it, which is verse 24, and in it you'll see the word mammon, which refers to money. Listen, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what we think about. He knew what they were thinking about in the first century when he's talking to them on the hillside. He knows what we think about today. And in one way or another, it is food, it is finances, it is fabric, how we look, and it's the future. How do I look? How will I look in 10 years? What will I afford in 10 years? How tall will my children be or I be? What will I look like? What will my kids have for food? What will they look like? It goes on and on and on. It's interesting to me that Jesus mentions food and stature in the same thought with its appearance. You know, they say, I'm not too fat, I'm just too short for my weight. You've ever heard that before? I'm about a foot too short as I figured it out. Now, maybe it's cruel for me to talk about food and fat 3 days after Thanksgiving, but I don't know. As Vance Havner said, preachers are supposed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Amen. So I'm doing that as well. So you'll notice what Jesus says in verse 26. Look at it. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. Now, you'll notice there's a distinction. He says the fowls, quote, of the air. Not in the air, of the air. He could have just said, note the birds. And he doesn't say, note the birds in the air. He says, note the birds of the air. That's a distinction. The birds belong. They are at home in the air. We know that that's part of a distinction because he says something similar about the lilies. Look at it, verse 28. Why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider, here it is, the lilies of the field. He didn't have to say of the field. But you see, indeed, in this natural sphere they occupy, for which they were created, there's nothing for them to worry about. However, the moment a bird starts overthinking, the moment a bird decides to go against what they were created for in God's will and goes down to plow or plant or harvest, they start taking thought. They got to do something that they're not designed to do. Now they've got a problem. Birds are not equipped. They're not qualified for that kind of work, and they don't need to be. God has provided for their food. And folks, if you really want to know this morning the great consequence and the danger of worry, then please recognize this. Recognize that when you overthink and constantly think and take thought and take thought and take thought, and thus you have anxiety and trepidation about the things that God has already provided for, you are going against His will. You have left His sphere of freedom and rest. And beloved, it is exhausting to try to control things that are out of our control. Put the problem down. Imagine for a moment the fowls of the air, a bird deciding to leave its flight in the sky in order to come down and pull a plow and to think about trying to do something else. The grace of God's creation is that it doesn't worry or fret about God's provision and purpose. They don't. The lily is provided as clothing. The sparrow is provided its food. And the Creator, who loves you more than both of those, has promised to provide all you need and to fulfill your eternal purpose, which simply means, folks, that whatever your appearance, whatever you look out in the mirror every morning, whatever your stature, whatever clothing and provision you have, it is enough. Whatever your bread, it is enough. There's also, as we noted, number four, the future. Your future is also secure. You see verse 34, take no thought for the morrow, tomorrow. You know, Jesus is reminding us that we don't need to claw our way into this exhausting work of trying to jump ahead where you're not supposed to be. In order to control what you can't, to change what you should not. From heaven's perspective, when His children overthink anything like that, it is unnecessary, it is unnatural, it is unhelpful, and it's unreasonable. Do you know that seven chapters after this text, the Lord Jesus says in the parable of the sower, that one of the things that chokes the seed of the Word of God is, quote, the cares of this world. Now, I want you to ponder that for a moment. Jesus is saying that in the parable, that one of the things that chokes out the Word of God, it's not Satan, it's not evil, it's not the Illuminati, it's not this, it's the cares of this world. Some of you in this room right now or live stream aren't listening to a word I'm saying. Haven't been listening since I started. You know why? Because you're thinking about other stuff. You're worried about this, worried about that, anxious about this, and therefore the Word of God has been choked out. You see, the worst thing about overthinking is that, yes, it robs you of God's best, His peace, His purpose, His power, therefore, is just missing from our lives. The average Christian in America, look around. What power do they have? What supernatural faith? Who among the average Christian in America is ready to face whatever is out there with grace and strength and boldness and courage because the Word of God flourishes in their heart? The word in that text in Matthew 13 is the word unfruitful. When Christians worry, they cannot be free to serve God. They're not. And if you doubt that this morning, I want you to look at the introductory verse we noted earlier. Go back, if you would, to verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat. Translation, you are not able to serve God and be the one that you're created to be when you're worried and fearful and full of dread. And beloved, nothing in this life is worth that kind of anxiety. The last line of verse 25, is not the life more than meat, and that means food, and the body more than raiment or clothes? Is not the life, don't miss what Christ is saying, folks, is not the life, not just life, but the life. See the wording? The Christian life, the ordained life, the believer's life. Is not the life more than the things you're all concerned about, the little things that are weighing you down because you won't put them down? Verse 31, he continues, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Wait a minute, have you ever read that and thought, where did that come from? Some sort of slam on Gentiles? Some sort of knockdown? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Where did that come from? You can see it's parenthesis. No, beloved, other than the fact that the Gentiles, the Greeks and the Romans in Jesus' day, they did not understand nor live with a perspective of eternity and of God's purpose. They did not see that the life is more than meat, more than the body, more than raiment. Keep reading, verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Beloved, the more your eyes and your heart settled on this world and temporal things, the more you hold on to what you see, the more your life is filled with paralyzing worry. The more your eyes and heart are settled on your Heavenly Father and the eternal things, the less your life is consumed with worry. See, but Pastor, it makes it sound as if it's all a matter of faith. Because if you're going to put it down, that means you're putting it in God's hands. If you're going to put it down, it means you're not going to worry about it. You know, He's going to worry about it. I think, Pastor, that panic and angst and anxiety and nervousness and apprehension and dread are complicated clinical disorders that require professional diagnoses. But you're implying, Pastor Blaylock, that the Lord is just prescribing faith. Well, look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Here it is, O ye of little faith. Yes, it's a matter of faith. Put the problem down. The answer, yes, for anxiety and everyday worry is faith for a child of God. Because faith changes your perspective on every single thing that brings about that worry and that anxiety. It takes a worried heart and makes it a worshiping heart. You ought to underline three words in verse 32. These are the three greatest words in the text, as far as I'm concerned. Your heavenly Father. That puts your entire life in perspective. You know what I didn't have when I was 11 years old? I didn't have a heavenly Father. I was of my father, the devil. But I have a heavenly Father. And he knoweth that I have need of these things. It is why, beloved, throughout the entire Bible, the saints of God were told to run to a fortress, to run to their high tower, to run to their mountain, to run to their eagle's wings. As Reuben Ebert used to say, run to the Lord. That's called faith and trust. Your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of these things. Do not allow worry and anxiety, finances, food, fabric, the future, rob you of his peace and his power, of his presence, his promise, and certainly of his purpose for your life. Trust him. Run to him. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, iPhone software has an interesting feature. If you go to the settings and then go to the screen time, you can see how much time you spend holding and looking at this thing. The average per week, according to Apple, is 3 hours and 40 minutes. Mine is lower than that. But it got me to thinking, what if our brain had a screen time, the average number of hours we spend taking thought, overthinking, all of the things that our Lord says, put it down. Take no thought. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There are exactly enough problems and issues that come onto our plate today that God's grace is sufficient for. If I'm going to disobey the scriptures and go get tomorrow's constantly, what happens if, and put those on today, and then add to those yesterday's, I can't get over what happened, what he said to me, what he did to me, and put those on today, there's no promise of grace that's sufficient for the evil that's sufficient to this day. God has promised grace that is sufficient for all of our problems. It's all those others, tomorrow's, yesterday's, more than your daily bread, other people's kids. You know what? God gave you your kids. That's enough. Other people's kids, other countries out of our control. Oh, Pastor, I worry every night about what's happening in Australia. I don't. Do you? No, he's over here. He's an American now. Amen. What other people wear, what other people eat, what other people earn, all of those things that bring about worries into your life, but those are other worries for other times. You have to. It's okay. I mean, I'm not saying I don't think about these things. I do. I pray for people. You do. We all do. I read the news. But you have to put it down. You have to put it down. And instead, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things will be added unto you. You replace the worry with worship. It's that simple. Father, bless, please, the invitation. Lord, I thank you that some time ago, your Son on the Sermon on the Mount spent so much time and wisdom and teaching and rebuking on this one subject of take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. Reminding us, dear God, that we don't have to be paralyzed like most of the world is by what's to come or what is, because we have a Heavenly Father. And I pray, God, that trust and that obedience to your word will lead us to a freedom of serving you in power and glory. Bless those who have asked for prayer, Lord, in this invitation time, please, in Jesus' precious name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.